All right, I'm going to be talking to you today about the effect of cover crops and an application timing on the nutrient loading and concentration through subsurface tile drainage. So one of the major environmental concerns today is with the hypoxic zone in the Gulf of Mexico. And what I'm showing you here is the 31 states contributing to the Mississippi River Basin, and Illinois is one of the leading contributors for nitrogen and phosphorus loading to the Mississippi River Basin, with agriculture contributing 70% of the nitrogen and 80% of the phosphorus. So in response to try to reduce the amount of nutrients entering the Gulf of Mexico, each state had to come up with a nutrient loss reduction strategy with an overall goal of a 45% reduction in nutrient load. And when you look into that further, a 25% reduction in phosphorus load and a 15% reduction in nitrogen load. So to achieve these goals, we need to enhance the efficiency of all of our nitrogen management practices. And the nutrient loss reduction strategy outlines several edge-of-field and in-field practices to do this. Some edge-of-field practices would be through the use of bioreactors or wetlands or buffer strips. But we're going to focus today on the infield practices. So we're going to look at the use of the 4Rs and cover crops to reduce the amount of nutrients leaching out through the tile drainage system of our fields. So kind of diving right into it, the research objectives for the study were to determine the impact of cover crops and in-application timing on the nitrogen loading and concentration in subsurface tile drainage. So what this study will do is evaluate several of the in-field practices outlined in the nutrient loss reduction strategy. So first we're going to test the effectiveness of in-application timing to reduce the nutrient load, and then we're going to test the ability of cover crops to reduce nitrogen losses in a spring-applied fertilizer system, and we're going to test the ability of cover crops to reduce nutrient losses in a fall-applied fertilizer management system, which is not really outlined in the nutrient loss reduction strategy. So the setup for our study, we have 15 individually drained tile plots. The tiles, or each plot is about 0.65 hectares. Each plot consists of three tile laterals. They're spaced about 13.7 meters apart. The inside diameter of the tiles is about 7.6 centimeters. Each plot has its own tile monitoring station. The three laterals come together about 4.5 meters from the controlled monitoring station, and we monitor all of the water moving through there. We have interceptor tiles around the borders of each replication to prevent the movement of water between replications and to prevent groundwater from moving in outside of the plots. So for our treatments, we have a zero control treatment. So this treatment receives no fertilizer and has no cover crops. So this allows us to see what's naturally leaving the field without the influence of fertilizers or cover crops. It's kind of like a baseline loss from the fields. And then we have a spring-dominated split application of nitrogen with and without cover crops. So in this system, we get about 20% of our nitrogen in the fall from DAP, and the remaining 80% in the spring as side dressed and hydrous ammonia. And we have one with and one without cover crops. And then in the fall-dominated system, we get about 70% of our fertilizer in the fall from DAP and anhydrous ammonia, and the remaining 30% in the spring as side dress and hydrous ammonia. And again, one with, one without cover crops. So our cover crop planting methods. So we interseed the cover crops with a Hagi High Boy. We usually plant them between early to mid-September. We are using a cover crop mixture of daikon radish and cereal rye. We seed at about 84 kilograms per hectare. And then we terminate the cover crops in the spring chemically about 1 or 2 to 3 weeks before you want to plant the cash crop. Cover crop sampling. So we sample the cover crops two times during a cover crop season, once in the fall before the winter termination of the radish, and then once in the spring before the chemical termination of the cereal rye. We correct the above ground biomass and measure the biomass and the end uptake to determine the total end uptake of the cover crops. We also going to look at some soil sampling. So we collect soil samples right around the termination of the cereal rye in the spring, and then we go down to a depth of 80 centimeters and break that up into four different depths, 0 to 5 and 5 to 20, to kind of represent the agronomic, or you know, where the nutrients are most likely to interact with the roots, and then the environmental depth of 20 to 50 centimeters and 50 to 80 where it'd be more susceptible to losses. And the tile in this field is about just below 80 centimeters in the field. Then we're going to talk about water sampling. So as I said, each plot has an own tile monitoring station. So the tile from a plot goes through a controlled drainage structure, and in this controlled drainage structure, we have our sampling equipment and a pressure transducer to measure the velocity and flow rate of the water, the level of the water, and then the suction line goes back to an automated water sampler and communication and data logger. So each plot has its own individually determined sampling trigger based on level. So once you get a rainfall event and the level in the water or in the tile gets above a certain point, the automated water sampler will automatically start pulling samples. It'll pull a 200 milliliter sample every hour, and it'll form a 3-hour composite sample that's 600 milliliters. We then go through and we look at the hydrograph and select certain samples to be analyzed to represent the entire hydrograph. And the samples are brought back to the lab, filtered, and then colorimetrically analyzed for nitrate, ammonium, and dissolved reactive phosphatase. But for the purpose of this presentation and for time, we're just going to look at the nitrate concentrations of the tile. To start things off, we're going to look at the weather data. Before we dive into the weather, I'm going to tell you how we break down our cover crop year. So we don't do a calendar year, we're going to do like a cover crop year. So we're going to start looking at September to, which is about the planting of the cover crop, to the following September, which is the planting of the next cover crop. And then we further break that in down into cover crop season and cash crop season. So what we're going to look at is, first is the 2014 cover crop season. So the key takeaways from this is we had a colder than average cover crop season and below average precipitation. So we had a very cold and very dry fall and winter. So these were not conditions that, you know, would promote losses from the field. And then in comparison, in the 2015 cover crop season, we had a very warm and very wet winter. So you know, these would be ideal conditions for losses through the tile and leaching of the nitrate down through the soil profile. So when we go take a look and see how that impacted the cover crop biomass and then uptake, as I said before, we had a very cold, dry fall in this first season. So we had significantly less biomass and end uptake in the fall. So we didn't get much growth from the radish at all and the cereal rye. But we did get a significant growth from that cereal rye in the following spring. So that after the winter, that cereal rye took off and took up significantly greater biomass and end uptake compared to the fall sampling. And we came in and around it for the end uptake at about 55 kilograms of N per hectare. When we look at the next year, we had that very warm and very wet winter. So this was ideal conditions to get a large amount of biomass and end uptake from the cover crops. So if you look at the fall sampling, so this includes the cereal rye and the daikon radish, we see a much greater biomass and an uptake compared to the previous fall. What's interesting, though, is when you look at the next sampling, you actually see a decrease. So what's this telling us is we did not get enough biomass and we did not get enough spring growth from the cereal rye to overcome the biomass lost from the winter terminated daikon radish. And you can see that in the biomass and the uptake where we see a significant decrease in the uptake in the spring sampling. All right, so now we're going to look at the soil samples by depth. So this is the spring of 2015. This was preceding a corn crop, so there was fall applied fertilizer. But there was no spring applied fertilizer at this point. It was applied as side dress. So these samplings were taken right around the termination of the cover crops. Key points to take away from this, there's no significant differences at any depth, but there was a larger amount of total inorganic N at the upper depths in the fall treatments. And we do see, and while not significant, we do see a reduction in total inorganic N with the inclusion of cover crops. So what we have here is the squares are the fall treatments and the triangles are the spring, and the green lines are the treatments with cover crops. When we look at the 2016 spring sampling, so this preceded a soybean cash crop, so there was no fertilizer applied. So that's one reason why we see lower soil concentrations. In addition to that, we had that very warm and wet spring, so that promoted ideal conditions for nitrogen losses from the soil. So there was also probably a great amount of nutrients lost. But we do see that cover crops significantly reduce the total inorganic N at the lower depths of the soil profile. All right, now we're going to jump into the total discharge. So first we're going to look at the corn year and the soybean year. We do not see much of an impact of the cover crops in the corn year on the discharge, but we do see a 26 to 32% reduction in total discharge in the soybean year from the cover crops. Other studies have reported a 9 to 11% reduction, but similar to ours, due to variability in the field, we did not see any significance in the reduction. We believe that this reduction is going to be due to increased transpiration from the cover crops compared to non-cover crop plots. And an interesting thing to look at here is that the zero control actually had the most discharge in both years. And we believe this to be due to decreased transpiration from the cash crops due to, if you don't have fertilizer there, you're going to have poor plant health, so you're going to have less transpiration from those cash crops. And we would break this up and down and look at it by season. So we have it broken down by cover crop season and then cash crop seasons. What we see during the cover crop seasons, we see a 32 to 42% reduction in total discharge and little to no impact of the cover crop during the cash crop seasons. Knowing that, we're going to take a look at the nitrate load by year. One thing we want to look at is first at the corn year. So we're going to look at the impact of N application timing. When you look at the spring nitrogen versus the fall, we see an 18% reduction when you move that spring application to the spring. When you look in the spring system with the addition of cover crops, the cover crops reduce the nitrate load by 13%, and in the fall system, the cover crops reduce the nitrate load by 27%. In the soybean year, what's interesting is we actually see an increase in nitrate load in the spring applied system compared to the fall. So this is most likely due to a larger pool of residual nitrogen left over after that corn year. And in the spring year, that residual pool of nitrogen leached out through the soil profile and out through the tile. When we look at the cover crops in the spring system, we see a 64% reduction with the inclusion of cover crops and a 56% reduction in the fall system with the inclusion of cover crops. So when we break this down and look at it by season again, what we see is a 51 to 67% reduction in nitrate load during the cover crop seasons. When we look at the 2015 cover crop season, we see a 47% increase in the spring treatment without cover crops compared to the fall treatment without cover crops. And then what's interesting, we have similar losses in both the fall with cover crop and the spring with cover crop treatments. Real quick, we're just going to look at over the course of the whole study for the flow-weighted nitrate concentrations, and we do see a significant reduction in the spring system with the inclusion of cover crops. As for cash crop yields, in the first year, the corn year, we did see a significant yield increase or decrease with cover crops in the spring system, but none in the fall, and then no significant differences in the soybean season. So what have we learned? Cover crops have the potential to significantly decrease the nitrate load of the subsurface tile drainage. Cover crops incorporating in a fall system can yield less nitrate losses compared to the spring system. And in general, cover crops have the ability to reduce the flow weight and nitrate concentration within a given N management system. And cover crops have the ability to reduce the total drainage discharge during the cover crop growing seasons. Future research, one of the things we're working on is determining the economic impact of cover crops, and there will be a talk later today by one of my colleagues, Richard Roth, and then just better understand how cover crops are impacting the release and uptake of nutrients. I just want to say thanks to my advisors and my other colleagues who have helped me throughout this process, and I can take any questions right now.
We have time for one question, please.
Yes.
So
there was an inhibitor applied with the fall applied nitrogen, but there was not an inhibitor applied with the spring, and we have not considered yet incorporating an inhibitor into one of our treatments. All right, thank you.